Good morning. Welcome to the August 7th meeting of the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission. Time's flying. It's already August. So with that, we will get right into the order of business and call to order and commissioners' discussion. Anything from my colleagues that you wish to share? Well, I will. I had the pleasure of going out on a reef net fishing. They call it the gear, reef net gear, but off Lummi Island. And I'd seen the gear before, but it's a very selective fishery, and it's a co-op that runs it. And they have about 10 members, but the one that I was on, they got 400 pinks and 50 sockeye the other day, and it's a highly selective fishery. But the interesting thing that they're negotiating and about ready, if they haven't already signed it, a contract with Patagonia. And Patagonia, in their stores on a global basis, where they sell the little packets of salmon, they're going to be reef net sockeye and pinks. And they're really, and the president of Patagonia is coming up to watch the fishery this month. So it's kind of a, you know, it sounds like a small thing, but Patagonia does a lot of vetting before they would put their stamp of approval, because it's a highly sustainable fishery in Patagonia, and that's what they market on as sustainability. And so I think that's a good thing for the state and as well as the fishery. And they market pinks in a way that what they were saying to me, which is kind of true, some of us in this state look at pinks as a secondary fish. I know Mr. Carpenter does, but when you get out of the immediate area, pink is a prime fish. And I had one that I purchased that day and brought it back, and it was really good. So, and Patagonia will make Lummi Island Wild and Washington fisheries a much more global fishery. So that was high point of my educational experience this month.
Well, that gives me an idea as well. I have been going out with enforcement a bit, and some of the excess steelhead are coming over to my neck of the woods, Region 1, and being placed in our lakes. We, of course, are having a little trouble with warm water over there, but I have to say it's making some of our anglers very happy to be pulling steelhead out of the trout lakes.
Yeah, I guess we need this, don't we? I just realized that it's been a long time since we've been together. And back in June, I was able to go to a workshop in Montana in the Tom Miner Basin. And it was put on by People and Carnivores, some of the local ranchers there. Just an excellent session. And this location is about 3 miles from Yellowstone. So they have every set of predators in the book, yet they're ranching. There's cattle all through this Tom Miner Basin, some fairly big herds, 800, 900, 1,200 cow-calf pair operations. And what I saw there was just really encouraging, I guess. You know, if I look at our future and hope that we can somehow make it all work, this was some examples, I think, where they're doing about as good a job as you can hope for. Had one picture where there's about 800 cow-calf pairs on this pasture. They're a kind of a heirloom breed. I think they're called Park. I'm not sure. But and they leave them all horned for defense. They're a little bit more inquisitive animals, so they usually turn to face things that are coming at them. And then they have some pretty good techniques they're using and applying on the ground, some low-stress livestock management techniques, some holistic management processes where you look at more rotational grazing and kind of the health of the grass and the soil and the carbon and everything. And particularly the low-stress stuff was interesting to me because we always talk about our efforts out in the field once cows go out into big allotments. And they do a lot of their training back in the chutes, back in the pens, back in January, February, March, April, before they're put out. to kind of reinstill the herding instinct in their animals, to where when they get out on larger allotments, it's easier for those herd supervisors out there to keep them together or to have them herd up and fend off, you know, any predator advances. Anyway, there was about 800 cows on this field. In the background, there's a fence, and right behind the fence, up to 15 to 18 grizzlies usually are going through there digging up roots. And then right behind that is three packs of wolves. And they've gone through four or five seasons with, you know, few losses. You know, sometimes they have them, but they can take care of the situation pretty easily. So it was encouraging. You know, I guess it gives me hope that down the road we'll find the techniques and people will be able to apply them and get on with this living with some of these predators.
Thank you, Commissioner Cuney. Any? Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I guess I just want to commend our local land management in our part of the world. We were besieged with some pretty major fires here a couple, 3 weeks ago. And a few years back, whenever we had a fire on the game department, it was a knife fight to try and get in and fight them and do everything. And that has changed very significantly. They have been really good to work with. And then we had one producer that got hit really severely. 60-some percent of his pastures got burned up in one fire, and we were trying to look for a little relief for him for some summer pasture because we've got a really short grass year this year anyway. And it turned out that he came up with some other stuff, but I know we were working with our local lands manager about trying to come up with some corners that we could put some cattle on to try and give the guy a little relief. So just wanted to publicly acknowledge him.
Thank you, Commissioner Holzmiller. Yes.
That led me to remember how much I've been appreciating the drought updates that we've been mm-hmm. getting. Those are very high-quality newsletters. Mm-hmm. Summarizing the situation, the graphics are fabulous. So I've been sharing those emails with others. So I've got a whole another set of listserv that those emails are going to, and it's scary. The drought is scary. It's going to have repercussions across the state, in our little neck of the woods, on the coast, in the rainforest, it's dry, and we've got a lot of trees. We've got a lot of fuel for fires. I don't think we're getting close to that yet, but it's unusual. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we've had one of the largest, most toxic, harmful algal blooms in a decade on the coast. No one knows if it's related to ocean changes related to climate change, but it's a fact that this is one of the largest, most toxic blooms that we've had in recorded times anyway, and it's caused a shutdown in the crab fishery, which is the most valuable coastal fishery. So, and in previous years, the domoic acid blooms have not led to contamination of crabs, just razor clams, which is also a very important, valuable resource. So it's a little ominous out there. And there's a lot of good research being done, including work by our department, to try to understand what's happening. But it's big.
Thank you, Commissioner Walker. Any other comments? I did one item of business. Item number 9, the land transaction, has been removed from the schedule. So that will free up some time. Okay, thank you for the discussion. All interesting stuff. And moving into the meeting minute approval, and that's for the June 12, 13, 2015 commission meeting. Any comments, additions, deletions, corrections to the minutes? None. Would entertain a motion? Commissioner Carpenter?
Mr. Chair, I'd make a motion that we approve the June 12, 13 Fish and Wildlife Commission meetings as stated.
Thank you. It's been
seconded
by Commissioner Wecker. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Minutes are approved.